Now here's an address given by Dick Chandler, the President and CEO of Freedom Scientific, at the annual convention of the ACB.
I'm going to talk about the future of technology that enhances opportunities for the blind, but I'd like to begin with a retrospective look over the last 25 years to see where we've come from. In 1976, if you were blind or had low vision, you were at a huge disadvantage in the world of work. All business communication in those days was written, correspondence, reports, memos. We were in a paper and ink world. Typewriters were on secretaries' desks. Computers were on nobody's desks. And in fact, they were in a separate room with a raised floor and air conditioning and only a few people with pass keys. Personal computers were in nobody's homes, nor were VCRs, fax machines, CDs, or cell phones. Let's fast forward to 2001. Today, there's a computer on virtually every white-collar desk in America. There is no real need for paper and ink if you know how to use JAWS, for example. Correspondence is via email. Reports are in electronic formats. Printed material can be scanned. We've got a ways to go in areas such as DAISY e-book formats and standardization, but today PCs are in 55% of American homes. Unfortunately, they're only in 23% of American homes with blind people. Just out of curiosity, I'd like to ask for a show of hands, how many of you have computers in your homes? Fantastic. That's about 90%, so you're way ahead of the curve. And in fact, PC penetration should be higher in households with a blind person because of the huge difference they can make, even a greater difference in your ability to access information. So over the last 25 years, technology has been a key force, in fact, one could argue the key force, in expanding opportunities for the blind. And because of technology, you can now reach the highest levels in any organization. There are simply no limits anymore. Historically, there's also been a big lag in applying off-the-shelf consumer product technologies to the specific problems of the blind or other people with sensory disabilities. I would call this the assistive technology lag. For example, when the Apple II came out in 77, the first mass-produced personal computer, it wasn't until 1987, 10 years later, that Dean Blasey introduced the first note-taker, which applied microprocessor technology in a portable device for blind people. The Windows operating system came out in 1990, and it wasn't really until JAWS in 1995, 5 years later, that the first screen reader was able to use Windows easily. So there's a five-year lag there. When Windows 2000 came out, JAWS was able to use it effectively 6 months later. And Windows XP, which Microsoft will be introducing in October of this year, I'm happy to say working with JAWS is now a ship criteria at Microsoft, which is a huge accomplishment for us. And in fact, JAWS 4.0, which we'll be introducing by the end of August, will include a free update for use with Windows XP within 30 days after XP hits the market. So today, the assistive technology lag is actually disappearing. There have also been three major trends during those 25 years that have combined to improve opportunities for the blind. One is Moore's Law, which you're probably familiar with, which says, named by Gordon Moore, one of the founders of Intel, which says that computing speed is doubling every 18 months due to the increased miniaturization of integrated circuits. And Ray Kurzweil, in his book, The Age of Spiritual Machines, points out that this trend has actually been happening for 100 years. If you go back to mechanical tabulation starting in 1900 through vacuum tubes and transistors. So we've had a 100-year trend of computing speed doubling approximately every 18 months. Another trend is the disability rights movement, which has been spurred by organizations such as the ACB. The fact is, society cares about all of you and about people with disabilities. Because it now represents 20% of the population with some type of physical disability. That's 50 million people. So we are on the side of the angels in this industry. Legislation has steadily reduced or eliminated barriers and given us the legal clout that we need, starting with the IDEA legislation applying to schools in 1975, the ADA applying to employment in 1990, the Telecommunications Act in 96 applying to media, Section 508 applying to government procurement, which went into effect just 2 weeks ago, June 21st. So today, once assistive technology products become the standard of care, to use a medical term, then any school or employer which doesn't provide them can be sued. And that's where we are today in a product like JAWS as a screen reader. If an employer won't provide that to you, or if a government agency won't, in fact, they could be sued. So legislative, we made a lot of progress. A third trend has been the emergence of the assistive technology industry. Now, I'm using that AT, or assistive technology term, to apply not just to products for blind or low vision, but also for speech disabilities, hearing, and learning disabilities. The AT industry is a coalescing of people from business, academia, government, nonprofit agencies, schools, and, of course, users. Today, there's over 100 companies that are dedicated, and they're all niche companies, incidentally. None of the big corporations have really succeeded in serving this marketplace, because you have to have, first, the engineering talent, secondly, a deep understanding of the needs of the target group of end users, and thirdly, the drive to make assistive technology innovation your top priority. Big companies have number one, but they don't have the second and third. Today, around the world, there's a group of mid-sized companies emerging that do have the skills and dedication for continuous innovation, and the industry is passing from the entrepreneurial phase to the investor-owned, professionally managed businesses that have the critical mass to sustain innovation over a longer-term period. And the competition is heating up. In every area now, we have competition among at least two or three companies, which is good for all of you, because that means that the innovation pace will accelerate and prices will edge downward as a result of that competition. So I think all these trends are going to continue. But let's look now at the future. If we look out, say, 20 years, which was Ray Kurzweil's perspective in his recent book, he predicts that Moore's Law is going to continue at least for that long, and actually indefinitely. And he estimates that a $1,000 personal computer in 2020 will match the computing speed of the human brain. Now, that has huge implications. Right now, computers are very good at rapid calculations, but they're not good at recognizing patterns, like finding the potato peeler in your kitchen drawer. So what are the implications of having computing power that now is as powerful as a human brain? Well, let me just give you two examples of things I'm confident we'll see. One is reliable speech recognition, so that there no longer will be any need for keyboards if you don't want to use one. We'll also have simultaneous translation into foreign languages, so you could speak to your computer in English and get output in German, whether speech, printed text, or in Braille. I think we'll also have mobile scanning approaching the ability of the human eye. For example, imagine a device that has a little ear mic plug that gives you audio feedback, and a camera either on your hat, for example, or on a lavalier around your neck. And it's constantly giving you instructions, like staircase ahead with 10 steps, handrail on right, or wall in 6 feet, door opening at 2 o'clock, or you are approaching a street with moving traffic, stop. Those kinds of things are going to be possible. It's going to revolutionize your world. There also will be unpredictable innovations. Major technology revolutions have actually not been foreseen very well. For example, the Internet, which by 1998 was the biggest thing on the planet. In fact, Jeff Bezos of Amazon was Time Magazine Man of the Year on January 1st, 1999. 5 years earlier, in 1993, nobody even had heard of the Internet, and nobody predicted it was going to change anything. So in 5 years, our world got turned upside down. So I'm not going to try to predict what's going to happen beyond 5 years. I'll let Ray Kurzweil, who's the futurist and the MIT professor, do that. What I'm going to talk about now is the kind of developments I see within a five-year perspective, which I think we can see more accurately. And there are five different developments that I think together will revolutionize the blind, low-vision market during that time frame. Development one is increased product segmentation, and this is going to lead to more affordable products. In each product category, I think we'll see multiple products at multiple price points. There'll be an entry-level product, which is simple, inexpensive, aimed at children or elderly or beginning users, a standard adult project with more product with more capabilities, and then there'll be a high-end product for power users and government and industry networks. And this, in fact, is part of our product philosophy at Freedom Scientific, and we intend to take the lead in this area. For example, in screen readers, we recently introduced Connect Out Loud at $249 for beginning users. Of course, our standard JAWS for Windows at $795, and then JAWS for Windows NT at $1,200. In note takers, the Braille and Speak at $1,295 is an entry-level product. The Braille Light Millennium 20 with a 20-cell Braille display is $34.95. And then we just started shipping the Braille Light Millennium 40 at $55.95 with 40 cells and usable either as a Braille display or as a note taker. Now, why, you might ask, is that so expensive? $55.95 is a lot. Well, Dell sells 15 million personal computers a year, and we sell fewer than 5,000 note takers. So it's really an issue of economies of scale. It's that simple. But the fact is, product segmentation will result in lower-priced alternatives and less complex products that will be perfect for many end users. Development two is product enhancements. We're going to see a lot of additions of useful features for the same price. For example, I'll give you, in the case of note takers, you now have built-in modems and products from such as the Braille Note and our Millennium 20 and Millennium 40. We've just introduced WizWheels, which is going to be a patented feature for easy documentation or document navigation. For example, we just sold a Millennium to Stevie Wonder because we were able to load the Bible into his note taker. And using the WizWheels, he can advance by book, chapter, or verse. So in about 6 or 8 seconds, he can find any verse in the Bible, which he loved. And this allows you to increase your reading speed. And also compact flashcards, which give our products now unlimited, virtually unlimited portable memory. So those are the kinds of enhancements you're going to see continuing, which makes a given price point give you a lot more features. Same thing's happening in software. Where, of course, we introduce new versions every year, as do our competitors of our products such as JAWS and Magic and Open Book. In fact, the JAWS 4.0 version that's coming out in August will have a built-in tutor and also a frame manager feature that allows customization without script writing. We think that's going to be a big benefit to people, especially in employment. Yeah. You're also going to see lots of new product combinations. For example, why are screen readers and scanners different products? Why aren't they combined? And in fact, for example, why aren't there bundled software products the way Microsoft has done with their Office suite? So that's the kind of direction we see ourselves moving in, and I think that's going to benefit everybody in the industry. The third development I think we'll see is new product breakthroughs. There's going to be some new products we haven't even heard of yet by applying leading-edge technology to our particular needs in this industry. We're going to introduce one around September 1st called SAL, which stands for Speech-Assisted Learning. And this is the first computerized Braille teaching device. It was developed by Sally Mangold on a government grant initially, who's a professor of teaching the visually impaired. And then we actually put it in the form of a product. It's a touchscreen device with a paper Braille overlay sheets. And it gives you instant audio feedback, so you can learn Braille through self-instruction. So in other words, the instruction will say, find all the words on the first line beginning with the letter A. And when you depress what you think is the letter A, it either will tell you good or try again. So you'll be getting instant feedback. And I have to tell you, I would despair at trying to learn Braille at my age, but when I tried this machine, all of a sudden I realized I could learn Braille because you're immediately finding out your mistakes instantly. So I think it's just going to be a breakthrough product. We're going to see note takers incorporating more and more PC functions. Those products are going to ultimately merge so that you can synchronize your note taker totally with all of your Microsoft Office software and data. We're going to have note takers with JAWS inside so that you can have a screen reader for surfing the net built into your note taker. We're going to have speech recognition that really works in concert with your note taker or JAWS, so you can use verbal commands. We're going to have note takers incorporating GPS, something that says you're at Madison and 54th, heading north, turn right in 5 blocks for Bloomingdale's. We're going to have mobile scanning. This is one I think to make a huge difference, so that you could read the menu in a restaurant or read labels on the cereal boxes at a supermarket. Ultimately, I think we're going to end up with an all-purpose note taker, which is your own portable computer that combines all of these useful functions in one. Okay. We're going to see steadily improving product quality, customer service, and distribution. And lastly, we're going to see universal design entering the mainstream. And that I mean by that I mean products that are going to incorporate features for people with disabilities as part of standard products. And so you'll actually eliminate the need for specific assistive technology companies. And at that point, I guess I'll seek work in another line. But I know we will have accomplished our mission. So in conclusion, technology clearly is your best friend. It's going to open the doors, so you should obviously not fear it, but embrace it. And I also want to make sure you understand that Freedom Scientific is your friend as well. Of our 170 associates, 42 are blind or visually impaired. They work in all of the knowledge-based positions. Our top five software engineers are blind. Of our board of directors of seven people, one is blind and another has a daughter who's blind. And the question that I've gotten from some people is, can they count on us? Is our heart in the right place? Well, let me assure you it is. Our mission is to change the world for people with sensory and learning disabilities by creating innovative, technology-based products and solutions. We think our ultimate strategy and the best strategy for us is what we call our total technology solution strategy, which says seamless integration of hardware and software products designed for use over the lifetime of a customer so that you can migrate to later generations without any loss of knowledge. Finally, I'd like to make two announcements. You might have already heard about the Freedom Technology Scholarship Program. We're going to be awarding $101,000 in technology scholarships annually to 50 students starting with this coming academic year. And we're partnering with six leading organizations in this field. So we're very proud of that. Also, we are sponsoring Eric Weinmeier as a company spokesperson and consultant. He's just a dynamite young man, extraordinary individual, and we're really pleased. He's also been using his Braille and Speak now for 12 years, and in fact took one up Everest with him. So we are very committed to this industry. Freedom Scientific, quite simply, is a company of the blind, by the blind, and for the blind. So we intend to be your partners in opening opportunities in education, employment, and improving daily lives. So thanks to accelerating paces in technology, the next few years are going to be very exciting. Welcome aboard and hold on to your hats because this industry is on the move.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
It's time for us to log off for another week. On behalf of all the Main Menu team, this is Jonathan Mosen saying thanks for listening. Join us again next week.